God, we need you every hour with every breath we take. We recognize it's a gift from you. We open up our hearts and ask you to fill us to overflow. We want all that you have for us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been going through the book of Daniel. Today's text is going to be Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to 27. Ernie's going to put it up so you'll be able to follow along as they go through the text. For many of us, our families immigrated to Canada. Some have always lived here. Others have come in more recent times, like the last 200 years, or 100 years, or maybe even this year. For those that immigrated to Canada, this was a welcoming land, although the weather sometimes brought incredible harsh conditions. But what if you were taken where you did not want to go? You were rooted up and replanted in a foreign land by no choice of your own. Would you ever see the familiar sounds and sights of home again? This is what the people of Israel wondered out loud, but also in the stillness of their hearts. The people of God are experiencing suffering and persecution in part because other nations are attempting to set up their own kingdoms in opposition to God and become beasts like the images in Daniel's visions and dreams. But how did the people of Jerusalem land in this mess in the first place? It was their own rebellion against the Lord, attempting to usurp his position as the one to be honored and worshipped. Instead, they wanted to be gods themselves. And when any of us go down this road, it always ends in disaster. It did for Israel. It will for us. Whenever we strike out on our own, we inevitably end up hurting ourselves and others because of our sin and selfishness. God's ways end in win-wins. Our ways often end in lose-lose. But God is not going to permanently leave his people in such a predicament, is he? God always seems to have a way through in helping, healing, and redeeming all that seems lost and broken. Powerful nations will rise up like the Medes and the Persians, and then Greece, starting with Alexander the Great. But who will be left standing in the end? Daniel 9:1 begins, like the other chapters, giving clues to the context for what is about to take place. When King Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar becomes king, in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar throws a wild party, taking gold and silver cups from the temple. And then while they drank from them, they praised the idols made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. This was the beginning of the end, as that night Belshazzar was assassinated and Darius the Mede became king. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year, Darius the Mede became king. Daniel had been doing some study. In Daniel 9, 2, he had been reading through the scrolls of Jeremiah the prophet. And what Daniel found in Jeremiah's prophecy was that the people of God would be in Babylon for 70 years, literally or not, before they could return to their homeland, Jerusalem. Daniel is sitting right near the end of this period. It's like hearing the school bell ring at the end of the day so you can go home. It's like the day you've been waiting to say the words, "I do," to marry your best friend. It's the arrival of the first baby in the family. But imagine if you've been waiting some 70 years for any of these events to happen. Some people don't even live to celebrate their 70th birthday. Verse 3, Daniel begins seeking God for direction. He does this by prayer and supplication, virtually pleading, combined with fasting, wearing sackcloth, putting ashes on his head. These are actions revealing complete humility before the Lord. great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keeping your commandments. God often used the imagery of marriage in the Old Testament to explain what his relationship was like with the people of Israel. The prophet underlines the Lord's incredible commitment and complete loyalty to the people of Israel in every way, just like a husband and wife should mirror this steadfastness in all the days of their lives. Isaiah 49:15, it says this: never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would never forget you. And now Daniel's confession comes, which explains why the people of God are in such a mess. Daniel 9:5, we've sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. It is like Israel has torn up the marriage agreement with God, while the Almighty remains steadfast and committed every way. Verse 6, we've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, to our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. God repeatedly sent his spokespeople to call Judah back to himself. Everyone from the king to right on down the line basically told the faithful servants, the prophets, to go take a hike. Not only did they reject the word of the Lord, but they often ended up killing the prophets so the truth would stop ringing in their ears. Daniel 9:7, righteousness is on your side, O Lord, but open shame falls on us, the people of Judah and all of Israel, to those who are near and those who are far away, to the lands you've driven them because of their treachery. Have you ever had a child, friend, or parent just go right off the rails? What would you do to get them back in the relationship? What would you be willing to sacrifice to turn the ship around? God was willing to let the ones he loves go into exile so they could rethink and reposition themselves to what really mattered. Daniel 9:8-9, open shame, O Lord, falls on us. We've sinned against you. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, but we rebelled against him. Sometimes we're the ones that have gone off the rails. And what we need more than anything else is the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. But what if our hearts are so hard that we don't even see our need for mercy or forgiveness? Daniel 9:11. So the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against you. Do you remember Joshua? His words in Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors who serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Unfortunately, Israel chose other than God over and because of the honor of your name. We say this every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or honored be your name. Everything God says about himself is true. It's completely trustworthy in every circumstance and situation in life. When God says he's going to do something, he does. His reputation is based on his character and who he is. Daniel 9:21, the angel Gabriel comes in response to Daniel's prayers. And then Daniel 9:23, the angel affirms Daniel is greatly beloved. And he goes on to explain what's up ahead, verse 24. There are 70 weeks, or 70 times 7, and then verse 26, it says 62 weeks. Often numbers in apocalyptic writing, again, apocalyptic in its true meaning, is not the end of the world, but rather an unveiling, or getting to look behind the curtain. These numbers are symbolic. Long Live the Third says, there are six actions that take place in this time period, ultimately pointing toward where evil is eradicated, and what is established in its place is righteousness. I'm going to say that again. We're longing for this day, where evil is eradicated, and what is established in its place is righteousness. It seems like the people's oppression and exile will last longer than Daniel had hoped for. Gordon Smith, in his book, Wisdom from Babylon, fully present, but not aligned with the values of the society, marked by commitment to good works and by depth of grace and character. Jim Zavala's daughter had been running away from God for a long time. Chrissy had rebelled against her family, had left home, and was living as far as she could from God. But one night, this teenager woke with a distant feeling that somebody was praying for her. And somebody was. During a church prayer meeting, a member suggested they should all pray for Chrissy. 2 days later, she came home. First question she had for her startled father was, who is praying for me? She experienced God's love, acceptance, and forgiveness, and recommitted her life to Christ. God is calling all of us home to restore a relationship to him and each other. In the Old Testament covenant, if the people obeyed God's law, they would experience his incredible blessing and favor. But if they disobeyed, they would bring a curse upon themselves, like the oppression of enemies and even in exile. Long Live the Third says, Daniel knew where the true blame for Judah's exile was, not resting on Babylon, but on the rebellious people of God. He also understood that there was no magical release to go back to Jerusalem without confession and repentance. Otherwise, they just end up back in a similar situation in a couple years. At the start of Daniel chapter 9, as Daniel is reading from the prophet Jeremiah, in which it's clear what caused their deportation from Jerusalem, it was that they broke the covenant. The text gives each of us the opportunity to do some reflection. Is there any area of my life where I'm doing things that God would not be pleased in? Is there anything that God has been directing me in, but I'm blocking the path forward? Have you found yourself praying like Daniel and asking God, how much longer? How much longer must we wait? The prophet is actually led into prayer because of reading the scriptures. When we read the Bible, it touches our hearts and can lead us into prayer and to even pray the scriptures back to our lives in the midst of the greatest difficulty. Why do you think this is? When we're desperate, our senses become more attuned. We can't stay where we are, doing the same things over and over, because that's how we end up here in the first place. It's so painful. We need to try another way, any way but the one we're on. There can even be a willingness to begin inviting Jesus into our complex and difficult circumstances. Daniel is inviting God's mercy to show them the way out of bondage. Jesus equally wants to show us the way out of bondage this morning. But we're not left here in disarray. There's incredibly good news. When God's involved, there's always room for forgiveness, healing, and freedom. It is all there for the asking, from a humble and gentle spirit, acknowledging we need God to rescue us. If there's anything separating you in relationship with Jesus right now, just surrender it. Give it to Him. He knows us better and loves us more than any other. Let's pray. Jesus, we give ourselves afresh to you this morning. We give you our burdens, our brokenness, our sins, and we ask you to be the lifter of our heads. We want to say yes to whatever it is you want to bring in our lives and world you so deeply love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love unfailing, grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight, they raise their voices day and night in praise to you alone. Alleluia. Glory be to our great God. Alleluia. Glory be Lord, we are weak and frail, helpless in the storm. Surround us with your angels, hold us in your arms. Our cold and ruthless enemy, his rise up, O Lord, and He will flee before our sovereign God. Alleluia! Glory be to our great God. Alleluia! Glory be in the sea, every fly.
they'll be on the tables. How do we find ourselves in the situations we find ourselves in? Sometimes we do dumb things. I could think of a variety I could mention right now that I've done. Sometimes things are just situational, and sometimes it's impossible where you are right now. And somehow we need God to reveal himself. We need him to come and meet us like only he can. And you know what? He's the only one who can. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that as you call out to him, that he has a way through. I'm fully confident of this. He has a way through for you. Amen.
If you'd like to stand, we're going to close out.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. So bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. God so loved, God so loved.